as I have the past few weeks to speak about the Nakuda of Galus Shuvi Navshi Limuchaichi and emerging from Galus as a process of self-discovery. Shuvi Navshi, when can a person experience real Menuchas and Nefesh? Shuvi Navshi Limuchaichi. When a person finds himself, and we have to talk a lot more about that, that's a term that's used everywhere by everybody nowadays, finding yourself. You can find yourself in all kinds of places also. But Shuvi Navshi Limuchaichi. Only when a person is living in a matzav of Shuvi Navshi that he returns to his soul, to himself, can he experience Menuchas HaNefesh. Because we spoke about from the Sar Shalom of Bells that the deepest galus of all is a galus within oneself. He says that's worse than a galus of Jews among Jews, and worse than a galus of Jews among the nations is that a person within himself is in galus. And we learned at the end last time, La'avdai b'leiv av sholem. The lave of Shalom, Laman Lo Nigal Arik Velo Neile the Bahala. The lave of Shalom that a person should have a mahalik in life to find his own shlemus. So we have to now talk in a very simple way to try to understand what this means. The very simple way, and then Bezer Hashem will pick up on it in the coming weeks. More and more and more to bring it all the way down to Malchus Shabbat, Malchus Asiyah Shabbat Asiyah, to the simplest, most pashut, to avoid it, that's for each and every one of us. So let's talk about a good thing, a happy thing. A chasna. A chasna is a happy thing. It's a good time. Everybody knows that even if you crash when you get an invitation, because it might be far away, and you have a million things to do, but everybody knows that when you're there, you're so happy for the chasna kala. So imagine we have a person who's at a chasna, but not stam, it's a beautiful, beautiful, super duper deluxe chasna. And everybody's eating and enjoying and talking and dancing and with all the chaveim, it's gewaldig. And there's one sad thing about this chasna. There's one yid, there's one Jew at this particular chasna who feels distant, who feels minutak, detached. He feels detached from what's happening. He's eating the same delicious food. He's listening to the same fantastic orchestra, he's listening, it's gewaldig, to the music, but he's not happy. And the reason for that is because this individual happens to be a waiter at the chasna, a nice religious boy, a frum boy, a yeshiva bacher. I put in some good time doing that many years ago. Why isn't he so happy? Why isn't he happy? Because he himself is in a matzav of galus. And the reason that he's in a matzav of exile of galus is because he looks around and he sees the most wonderful simcha. The only problem is, it's not his simcha. He doesn't really have a shaychus to the simcha. He's working, it's a gig, a job, whatever you want to call it, but it's not his simcha. And even though, of course, he's a yid, so he's happy, he sees the chasna kala and he smiles. But to feel any kind of real, real simcha, when the simcha is not your simcha, it's not a friend of mine, I don't know them, I never met the chasna, I never met the kala, I don't know the families. Adirab, let's take it a little bit further, the story of the one sad person of the Chasam. Let's say he's also an eligible bachelor of marriageable age. And let's just say that he recently broke up with a young lady who he thought for sure was going to be his bashet. That makes it worse, right? So now when he's at this simcha, and he sees Chasam Kala, and he sees that everybody is labedik and happy and dancing for Chasam Kala, not only is he not feeling the geula, the redemption that a Jew, that a person can feel at a simcha, but fakir, he was doing better off at home before the simcha. Because every single sound of music, and every single sound of the feet dancing, and every single dish that he himself is serving, every single thing, is a reminder of how it's a beautiful thing, but it's not mine. The kala nor the chasuda. She's a lovely kala, but it's not my kala. It's not my kala. So instead of relieving this person a little bit, giving him a little bit menucha from the loneliness that he feels after breaking up with the young lady, so his friend said, you know what, you should get out on the town a little bit, go away, get your mind off of you. So he says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to do a job, I'm going to be a waiter tonight at the chasam. So he goes to the chasam, he sees a chasam kala, and that's all that he wanted. And the girl, you know, and him didn't work out with his girl, didn't work out. So every second in the chasam is intensifying the goalless, the loneliness. And you see this really by every simcha. And all of us have felt this. The more of a karav you are to the Balei Simcha, the closer you are to the Balei Simcha. It's a simple thing. If you're an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, a dear friend all the years, the closer you are to the Balei Simcha, the more of a chelik you have in the Simcha, and the more you see yourself, the more you see yourself in that simcha as being part of the simcha. And therefore, the more delicious is the taste of every niggun, of every song, of every dance, of even of something that's offered to eat. Because it's my simcha, it's my best friend's simcha, it's my brother's simcha, it's my uncle's, my aunt, my sister, I mean, it's a simcha. And therefore I feel that the simcha is my simcha. Sit down, please. Look, Imela, the person sees that when he's at the simcha, it's a chelik of my life. There's a piece of my life that is very deeply attached to this event that I'm at right now. You could imagine that if there would be a lion or a tiger, a wild animal, that would have an all-expense weekend in the most beautiful hotel, and it would be with not just on the hotel. You know, they have, like I was talking about a few weeks ago, they have hotels. I didn't even have a musik that people are so meshuggah that they'll pay thousands of dollars because it's some kind of special linen or special windows, I don't know. And because of that, the lion or this tiger, they received it won some kind of a contest in the jungle. There was a Chinese auction for some yeshiva, and the lion won this thing, and the lion's gevaldik was given an all-expense thing for 4 days in the super duper Marriott, and in some place, I don't know where, I'm sure they're fancy, I don't have really the latest, the big hotels, I don't know the names. So the lion is escorted into this magnificent room. Any of us, we wouldn't want to go to sleep. It's chaval to waste the time in such a beautiful hotel to go to sleep. For the lion, this is a Gehenna. They close the door, and he goes Mishuga. In his room, he starts tearing apart the place. You know why? Because he's like the he's a little bit like the poor yeshiva bachur at Chasna. He says, this might be a good place, and a lot of people might like it, and it could be that human beings hold that this is a very, very, very special place to be in. And those who are human beings have a chelik in this simcha of being in this 10-star hotel. But the lion says that for me, my home is the jungle. The place where I live, the place where I belong, that I feel that it's my life and I see myself in that place, is the jungle. Therefore, one person's redemption is another person's exile. We understand this. We understand. You take one person and you put him into a shia from the biggest maggid shia in the world. You put him into the best shia in the world. And the guys, when they're walking in, they tell him, you know something, this isn't stama shia, this is the best shia in the world. He says, yeah? How long is it, they say? Between 3 and 4 hours, but it's every second is gan eden. You know how you've been in these situations, the guy never learned, he doesn't know how to prepare for this shia, he doesn't know what he's, and he goes in there are 200 people in the room, and he can't get out, and he's stuck, and he looks around and he sees faces of the guys that are in the shia that are ready and that they're holding by this, and it's like Gan Eden. I told you a few weeks ago, my father loves chazanas. He loves chazanas. You know, it's already over 8 years that he's listening to that stuff. And he should continue for many more years. And my father used to take me, he was always hoping that I would develop a taste in chazanas. This is among many, many things that I let him down with. This is the least serious, one of the least serious things. So my father used to take me like to these Veltz chazanim. He would take me to these, like, I remember, especially we lived in Etzel, even here I remember going to Borough Park for this and to go there, and then we went in Etzel and we went where we lived, and my father took me to the big shul in Tel Aviv. He was hoping that Moshe would a little bit, you know, and I still am a big Balderach to my father, and I tried. And we would go to these shuls, and you'd see, and they were like for 2 hours, and there'd be some Veltz chazan standing over there belting out, you know, in the Sana Toykev. It was mamish a gehenim. I was 13 years old. All my friends were going somewhere, like to a movie or something. I'm with my father in Petach Tikva, in Tel Aviv, and all the old times are like, because now I know it became popular, but all the old times are like this. They're closing their eyes and they're shaking their heads. And I'm the only one that had to have such a chinuch. I was the only person that was like, that was under 50 or 60 in that place. So you understand, for my father's Olga's own Zion, it's a Gan Eden. This was a Veltz Chazan, it's a Gan Eden. For me, it was a Gehenna. For my father, it was a redemption. And for me, it was the deepest galus to be in for a kid where his friends were having a good time and I'm standing there listening to Chazanas. And I didn't have a seat, I just want to tell you, I didn't have a seat, I remember. Because it was so packed with these Yidden. And there were older people, I had to stand up the whole time, I had to stand there, listen to the Chazanas. Every one of us has been in that situation. Everyone. You might be in it right now. Could be, I don't know. But everyone has been in a matzav like this. Now listen. The Ramban writes the following. This is the Ramban's psich in his Akdamah to Sefer Shmais. Everybody should learn the Ramban. The Ramban's Hagdamas, in his Hagdamah to each Sefer, is the Neshama of each Sefer. The Ramban, in his Hagdamah to Sefer Shmais, defines the essence of Golus and Geula, of exile and redemption. We're coming now to the time. We're coming now, Adar, it's going to be ready, Adar, it's going to be Adar to Nisan. The Hine, many of you have learned this, the girls have learned this in school, and the guys have learned this in yeshiva. The Hine HaGolus Einenu Nishlam. Golus is not finished. Golus from leaving Mitzrayim is not finished. Golus, Hine Golus Einenu Nishlam, it's not completed. Ad yoim shuvam el mekoimam. Ad yoim shuvam el mekoimam, until they would return to their real place, el mekoimam, which means Eretz Yisrael. Ad shuvam, even though we left Mitzrayim, all the bad stuff. Hagolus einena nishlam ad yoim shuvam el mekoimam, and it's not just enough to be in the place, in the natural place for the Jewish people, but v'almaylas avoysam yeshuvu. But also, golus is until, not just to get back to Eretz Yisrael, but until we return to the maila, to the greatness and the exaltedness of our ancestors. Almaylas avoysam yeshuvu. The Ramban here is defining golus. We could talk about this Pesach night. This is the Nakuda, the first part of the Haggadah. This is the Nakuda of Golos, the Pnimius of Golos, when a person is not in his place. When a person is not in his place, in his natural habitat, going back to the line out of the jungle, when you're not in your natural habitat, and you're not in the Maila, you're not at the point, at the place, who you really can be, where you can really can be, who you should be. That's what the Ramban is saying. So it's each person with his own galus, and each person has his own gula, depending upon who he is, where he's coming from, and how great he can become. So when we come back to our poor friend, the sweet yeshiva bacher, the waiter at the wedding, at the chasna, let's talk about him again. But now, Let's talk about how life is for this yeshiva bacher, for the waiter, after the chasna. So the chasna, let's say, was Motzei Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos, and the Sunday morning he's back in yeshiva. The yeshiva bacher, he's tired. It was a late night. He's back in yeshiva Sunday morning, and he has his familiar spot. He has his makom kavu in the yeshiva. He goes to his place. He's got his little shtandi. He's got his Gemara, his Rambam. He's got his Mishnah. He's got everything nice. He's in his place. He's back home. So now that he's back home, so we would assume that he's happy. Now he's going to be happy because he's redeemed from the gullus of the previous night, of the loneliness of being at a wedding without the girl he wanted to marry, and being at somebody else's simcha, feeling outside always of the dance circle and outside of the Balei Simcha. So now finally, he's in his natural place, he's in his home, he's back in Bis Medrash. He's been there for 2 years and is Bis Medrash for 3 years, so he's supposed to be happy, but he's not happy. Why isn't he happy? Because deep inside of him, now I know the boys here and the men who have lived through this will to one degree or another understand exactly what I'm saying. For the young ladies, it's a little bit harder without experiencing what that life is of the yeshiva. But each one of us can understand this to some degree. Why is he unhappy? That's his makom kavua. These are his guys. These are his buddies. He's in yeshiva. He should be happy. So the teretz is, again, everybody knows the teretz is, he doesn't feel connected to this mesechta that they're learning right now. This man, he doesn't feel connected to the Gemara that they're learning. The handling in Yevamos, he has hard enough time remembering his own relatives, right? He doesn't remember this sorrow and that sorrow. He doesn't remember, he doesn't understand the shiurim, and even if he's sharp, he doesn't feel in his pnimius a shaychus ki huzeh. He doesn't have a shaychus to this mesechta. At least if he'd be learning Megillah and he talked to him about Purim and it's almost Purim, no, he doesn't feel a shaychus to this limud. He doesn't feel a deep connection to the seder in the yeshiva, to the time of getting up, to the time of going to sleep. He doesn't feel a connection to the food that's being given in the yeshiva. He doesn't enjoy it. It's nothing like he has at home. The kids, life in the yeshiva Life in the yeshiva is not matim, doesn't stim with who he really is and what he really feels. So what that means is that every ben Torah, every aspiring ben Torah, at some point, if he has a little bit of seichel and he's sensitive, asks himself the terrifying question. The terrifying question that oftentimes he's afraid to ask because of the answer. And the terrifying question is, do I really care about learning Torah? I don't mean a nice vart or something for a parasha for 15 minutes. Everybody likes that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 12 hours a day. Hearing a Rebbe talk, most of the time I either don't know what he's talking about, or if I do, I don't know any, I can't see the slightest relevance what he's saying, that he's dragging on this thesis for 3 weeks that has to do with my life and who I am. The question that he asks himself, do I really care for learning Torah? Imagine lahavdil elef alfei hevdalos. Elef alfei hevdalos. You have somebody that's registering in college. Lahavdil, he's registering in college, and he looks a little bit. He's standing over there. And he looks a little bit. He looks a little bit sad. And he asked him, "What's wrong? What are you taking over here in this college?" He says, "Well, what do you want to do?" He says, "Well, the truth is, I'd like to be an English major. I want to major in English literature." "That's nice. Okay. So what courses are you taking?" "I'm taking organic chemistry, physics, microbiology." "So why are you doing that? It doesn't sound like that's going to go for your English degree." "Yes, my parents are. My parents think that this is what I should do." So he's again another waiter, another lost waiter in Galus. Lahav the Aleph Alfei Hadolos, the Yeshiva Bach doesn't have that choice. Everybody knows that. Doesn't have a choice. You know, at least when you go Lahavda, when you go to college, you look through the catalog. Maybe if your parents didn't force you, so you have a little bit of a choice. "I like this, looks interesting, I'll take that." When the guy goes to Yeshiva, at some point he asks himself, in the pnimius of who I am, in the inner essence of my existence, of my being, do I really love learning Torah? Not when my Rebbe's watching me, not when I'm with all the guys and I'm shuckling, when I'm by myself and the Rebbe's not here, when I'm someplace else. Do I feel that what I'm doing in this place for 10, 12, sometimes more hours a day, do I feel that this is what I want and that this is who I am? Or am I living up to somebody else's expectations of who I should be and what I should be doing? Because everybody knows that if you yourself and your pnimius are not attached to learning, if you're not attached to davening, if you're not attached to Yiddishkeit, so it could be a yeshiva bracha, and he's sitting in yeshiva, and he's davening in the yeshiva, and he's learning in the yeshiva, and they sometimes have a niggin in the yeshiva, and there's a kasha, there's a question in the shiur, and there's a teretz in the shiur. The problem is it's all somebody else's chasana. It's not his chasana. It's not his chasana. It's somebody else's chasana. And he looks around and he sees the Rebbe. The Rebbe is about simcha. And he sees some of the other guys. They're all part of the simcha. And they seem to love learning. And they're excited about davening. They're excited about the seder in yeshiva. And they're all into it. And he says, "Everything is beautiful. My Rebbe is a beautiful Jew. He's a tzaddik. The guy is a great guy. He's a great yeshiva. The Bismedrash is a beautiful Bismedrash.
Everything is gewaldig. The davening is nice. The learning is nice. Shabbos is beautiful. There's one problem. It's not my collar. It's not my collar. I'm not here with my collar. It's not my chasana. It's not my simcha. It's somebody else's. The Rebbe is somebody else's collar. The yeshiva is somebody else's new house or new apartment that every young guy and girl's dreaming to move into with his bashed. But it's not my chasana. It's not my collar. This is not my apartment. This is not my mother's food. This is not my shower. This is not my bathroom. Is it okay as far as yeshivas go? It's okay. Maybe it's beautiful as far as yeshivas goes, but it's not mine. So this poor little yeshiva bacha who's just coming back from a real, real hard couple of days. Remember, his girlfriend dropped him. He was at a wedding last night that reminded him every second about what happened with the girl. And now, Sunday morning, he's back in yeshiva. This is a typical life of a yeshiva bacha, right? I'm not saying anything strange. This is the life of a typical yeshiva bacha. And he sits there, it came a little bit late, and he starts to dream about Ben Hazmanim. Of course, Ben Hazmanim, the last Ben Hazmanim was just 2 weeks ago. But nowadays, as you know, it's getting close to the Ben Hazmanim, soon it's only going to be Ben Hazman in yeshivas. So I guess then it'll be called the Zman. And the 2 days of learning will be called Ben Hazmanim. But right now, this fellow is still in a traditional place. And 2 weeks ago was Ben Hazmanim. And he was skiing in Vermont with the guys. And he had a great time. And he's sitting there by the Gemara. And he's dreaming about Ben Hazmanim. I've had this conversation. Not one, not two, not 100, not 500. Many more than 1,000 bachim over the years. The honest ones. And he's dreaming of Ben Hazmanim. And he's wondering what will be like in Vermont after Pesach time. What's it like over there in Vermont when it's warm? And then he goes weiter. He starts to think of what it would be like maybe if the yeshiva is finished, when he is done with the yeshiva. This Rabbi Isai is the basis for much of the tzibrachenkeit, for much of the brokenness, the disheartenment, the disillusionment, the sadness, the despair that you can often see etched on the faces of many of the yeshiva bachim. Not Hashem, all. Many, many are very, very excited and happy and they feel that they belong there. Or Hashem. But there are many, many fellows that are in the Bis Medrash. And you can tell by when they come and when they go and how they come and when they go. And there are many, many, many Simanim. I don't think I have to tell anybody. You know, you could pick up in 10 minutes who's in Golus in Yeshiva and who's in Gula. It's not hard. Every Rebbe knows. You can see in 10 minutes. Golus in the most magnificent place in the world, in yeshiva. So the Ramban says, El Milos Avoisam Yeshuvu. It's not enough just to be in your place. But you have to be, to return El Milos Avoisam. To return to the stature and the greatness of who you come from, of who you really are. Until that time, he's still in Golus. And what was Rabbi Yisrael, the Mila of our others? What's the Rambam talking about? What was the Inyan of our ancestors? The Rambam writes, when the Rambam describes the life of our ancestors in Marin Ahuchim, Gam ba'oskam b'mira hatzayim. Our ancestors, even when they were busy watching the sheep,
They were busy shepherding. Even when they were doing that, Libam lo yazuach me'al Hashem izbarach. I doubt you didn't take from the Chassidish and said, I want you to hear the Rambam's words. This shouldn't be like it's a Chassidish ma'isa. The Rambam says that the obvious, the nekuda of the obvious was that no matter what they were doing, even when they were watching the behemoths, Libam lo yazuach me'al Hashem izbarach, their hearts never left Hashem izbarach. Their hearts never moved an inch from God. That's the natural matzav of every Jew. That is the home of every Jew. That's the pnimius, the pnimius of every Jew. Even that poor little yeshiva bachur says, what am I doing in this place? I gotta get out of here. Ma'ilas avoysam is to have the Rebbein Shalom every single second of your life to be attached to the Rebbein Shalom. To live with the Rebbein Shalom, like they say nowadays, 24/7, to live with the Rebbein Shalom in such a way. So if a person is registered in yeshiva, but his natural habitat is on a slope in Vermont, or in his bed back, you know, in Flatbush or Far Rockaway or the Five Towns or in Muncie, wherever he happens to live. That's his natural habitat. That's where he, that's his own personal jungle. That's his natural habitat. Or if this person, if this bachur feels that his natural home is sitting by the television. Sitting by the television with some nash. So then you understand that his being in the yeshiva, sitting in the yeshiva, is a galus, is exile. It's the exile of the self that the Sar Shalom from Belz was talking about, the most bitter galus of all, is to be a galus within yourself. So Ramban continues. Uchishabol Har Sinai, today's parasha. Kishabol Har Sinai, Vishav HaKadosh Baruch Vehishra Shchinasai Beinehem. When they came to Har Sinai, as we talked about this morning, and they had such a hisgalus, a revelation of the Shechina by Har Sinai, and Hashem Kivyochel, the Hashem Vayeved Hashem, Hashem descended upon them, Vehishra Shchinasai Beinehem, and the Baruch Shalom came and dwelled amongst them. Oz Shavu Amailas Avoysam. Then they felt that return to the Maila of the Zaydis and the Babis. Then they felt what it was like to be in Avraham Avinu, Asari Imenu. Then they came back on Maila Savoysa. Shahayasoid Eloika Alei Ohalayhem, which is the mystery of God hovering over their tents, of living with God. That's how our ancestors lived. And now they came back by Har Sinai. Another Rabban ends this, and he says, "V'oz nechshavu geulim." Then they felt redeemed, even before Eretz Yisrael. V'oz nechshavu geulim. Because remember, Eretz Yisrael is a hechatimsa to be connected to God. It's not an end unto itself. There's no end, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a hechatimsa to be close to God. I know there are some people in the government who wouldn't agree with that, but that's the truth. So at Har Sinai, the Ramban says, at Har Sinai, listen carefully what the Ramban is saying. In a desert, forget about an air-conditioned Bis Medrash, or a heated Bis Medrash, with a little cushion on the chair. Forget about that. In the Midbar, in the middle of the desert, with Srofim and Akrabim, with all kinds of snakes and scorpions and horrible things. Homeless people, dragging around in the Midbar, Aboim Shona Akud Badar, dragging around for 40 years without a home. Everybody knows what it's like just to be, God forbid, for 4 days to even to go someplace, and you're staying in a hotel but you're away from home, how miserable it is. To be away from home, unless God forbid you're not happy at home. It's the most horrible galus. So the Jewish people in the Midbar, 40 years dragging around in the Midbar. Alright, this is at the beginning of that time.
But still, they're in a midbar. It means without really knowing where are we going? Where is this taking us, this whole new religious thing that we got involved in? Where does this go? What's the end of this? What's it going to be? What's it going to be like? I'm the kind of a person, I get very nervous, like if something is not packed and I have to be somewhere. My wife and children know that I'm very, very, I inherited, with other, many good things, I inherited this. I get very nervous about things not being like ready and mesudah and everything like that. And my wife is only happy when things are not ready and mesudah. And I can't, it's very hard for me to be not mesudah everything. Which I know disqualifies me for true being a member of any true Hasidic sect, but that's just the teva that I have. That I'm very meshugah with things being a certain way and being ready and knowing what's going to be. So Klai Yisrael lived in this crazy place in the midbar, and they didn't know what's going to be tomorrow. They didn't know what's going to be. And yet the Ramban tells us. They were happy. You know where the happiness came from? Again, I'm not calling up Sukkim and Torah that says they had tainus. The Ramban says when they stood at Har Sinai, they were, that's what the Ramban's lashon is, va'oz nechshavu ge'ulam. They were home. They were home. Soid eloika alei ohaleihem. Because the essence of a Jew is to share a tent with the master of the world. And to be content. One, a Jew, in order for a Jew to be content, it's only when he lives in that metzias, in that world, can he be fully content. When a person feels that he belongs in this place, let's go back to the chasna, it's the brother of the kala, it's the sister of the chasna. When you feel that you belong in this place, and you're in the inner circle, and this is the chaver, this is my chaver, this is my simcha, this is my chasna. Oh, chas kam v'kam, if your mom is the chosn, if your mom is the kala, then you can have menucha. Then you could feel happy. And that's what geula means, without anything fancier. Geula means in Hebrew, hamakam she'elav ani shayach. The place where I belong. Cool. And being who I belong in being myself. That's Gul. Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaych. When I feel that my soul is connected to where I am. When I feel that my soul is connected to what I'm doing. Every single Jew, not just the Ben Yeshiva, I use that as an example because it's a very strong example, that every single Jew has to ask himself the terrifying question, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? I'm not talking about something dumb like whether you wear a black hat or a knitted yarmulke, whether you listen to Chaim David, or you listen to Mordechai Ben David. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. Not that stuff. Chol Yisrael, this piece of shop, that flesh exists. Look at all that stuff. That's all when Mashiach comes, going to be a big, big gelechta, a big joke, all of that stuff, what we think is so chashuv. Not that stuff. The real question, like the Ramchal that I've been saying every single week for months, Yisrael HaChassidus HaShoyesh Ovad HaTmunish Yisbarav Yisames. Yisbarer v'yisames, till it's clear to me the truth. Truly, truly, do I want this? Truly, truly, is this for me? Is this me? Most people are living in a state of galus and nefesh. And that state of galus and nefesh brings to sadness, all other kinds of things. It brings to the hepech of menuchas and nefesh, the opposite of menuchas. Of course, that doesn't mean that the guy should leave yeshiva. And it doesn't mean that the person said, well, I guess putting on tefillin is not doing it for me, so I got to find something else. Chas v'chli. Because that's the sight of every Jew's, the sight, the secret and the mystery of every Jew is to return to the mila of our others. To work, to come back to being like an Avraham Avinu. To be like our Zaydis and Bobbies when they were standing in Har Sinai.
That was like the Rambam says that they didn't, that no matter what they were doing, whether they're at work, whatever they're doing, libam liyazuch me'al Hashem Yisbarach, that their hearts never, ever for a second left Hashem Yisbarach. So it's not the yeshiva itself that's a place of galus, or that God forbid, Torah mitzvahs, a life of Torah mitzvahs, like some people will say, it's nice, but it's not for me, and they throw it away. God forbid. It means until you're able to, you have to work on yourself. It might not be in this yeshiva, that yeshiva, that's not the point. And it might be that for that person, he has to now do something else and learn a few hours. I'm not getting into that. Until a person is mevarer and na'ames, ki heim chayenu v'ayrach yaleinu, that this is my life, the study of Torah. I'm talking about the yeshiva. Ki heim chayenu, I mean everybody is, but especially at that age. Ki heim chayenu v'ayrach yaleinu. Until that time, that you don't feel that your address, the address where you live, is Torah. The address where you live is the Ribbono Shel'olam, like the Ramban says, hovering over your tent, over your life. If you don't feel it's the pnimius of what I want, of what I'm longing for, of who I want to be, that's my rotzon, even though I'm not right now, and I don't feel it right now, but I want to be that way. Until that time, you're in a big galus. Even though you're such a nice guy, and you want to give nachas ruach to your parents should be able to say, my boy, he learns in yeshiva. And you want to give nachas ruach to your wife, that you're learning, that you're a firm guy, you get up, you go to shul. And then on top of that, you also have a cheshbon to give nachas ruach to your dead ancestors, to the ancestors no longer living, especially if you come from some famous tzaddik or something, and you know, your father says, you know, doesn't pass, Chassam Seifer's ankle, you know, Chassam Seifer's grandson should act the way that you act. So I had a hard enough time with the Rebbe, so I had enough time then with the parents, and with the yeshiva, now on top of everything, I got the Chassam Seifer looking down from Shemayim, scowling, you know, look at my ankle, this is my ankle. Chassam Seifer. Menucha. Where does menucha come from? Where does tranquility come from? You just said it a little while ago in Mincha, today. But let's think of the words. Menucha shleima, Rabbi Isai, nu, sha'ata, reitze, ba. Menucha shleima, what's menucha shleima? What's real menucha? It's always menucha shleima, sha'ata, reitze, ba. If you want to do that, if you want that life, if that's what you want, if not, then you're like the little boy with the chazanah's concert. You're like the waiter at the chasna. Menucha shleima shater oitzeba. Menucha shleima. I've dealt with situations where there are people who are balei tshuva already for 15, 16 years and then dropped it. Disappeared. I've dealt with situations with people who raised them from families. And then they'll tell me afterwards that they were planning that. It took them a couple of decades to get up the courage to run away. Because they knew that they were killing everybody. Sometimes they had to wait until there was somebody, until they were sitting shiv, until they could start dropping things. That's how much of a galus they felt they were in. Hashem Yirachem. Because geula, redemption, means Menucha Shleima Sha'at Reitzeba. The Chiddush of Matan Torah. The Chiddush of Matan Torah of this week's parasha that we just read, that we're still living, is that a Jew is able to be at home everywhere in the world if he receives the Torah. No matter where you are. No matter what you're going through. And it doesn't have to be that you're able to talk over the Daf Yomi with somebody that you happen to meet, you know, on a train in Vienna. That's beautiful. It doesn't have to be. A Jew be'etzem is a ga'ul. Since Maimon HaSinai, that's what Ramban says. Since we left Mitzrayim and we received the Torah, every single Jew
is in it, Be'etzem is redeemed, but even before Mashiach, Be'etzem is redeemed. He doesn't need to be in this town, in this place, with this girl, with this guy, with this air conditioner, with this supermarket, with this car, with this billion, million, trillion things that people feel that I have to have in order to be happy and have menucha. Since Maimon HaSinai, since we left Mitzrayim and Maimon HaSinai, every Jew be'etzim, if he works at it, and he harvests, he struggles to come to that nekuda of the penimius, which we're going to learn over the next few months, of who he is, be'etzim is redeemed. He's in a state of redemption. These are the words of the Sfas Emes and Shmais, Pasha Shmais, Tav Reish Mem Aleph. We say in davening every day that Hashem is Baruch took the Jewish people out for eternal freedom. Chayrus Oilam. Forever we were free. So Sfasam is Jews are free forever. What kind of freedom forever? So Sfasam is right. Sha'acha gulas Mitzrayim. Nasi Yisrael b'nei Chayrim. We left Mitzrayim, we became bad, some free people. V'hagam, shagam ata, b'avonisani rab ma'avodim, anachnu v'golos. Svasemis was writing this in Poland, you know, in the 1800s. He says, even though, because of our sins, we live in golos. And we're still slaves. We're still slaves, maybe not the way that it was in Mitzrayim. Maybe worse than it was in Mitzrayim, in certain ways. Aval im kol zois acheres biyadeinu. Im kol zois acheres biyadeinu, freedom is in our hands. Doesn't depend upon where we live. Doesn't depend upon a guy standing over you with a rifle banging you on the head, God forbid. It doesn't depend on anything. He says, Tim calls us a chayus biyadeinu. What's the chayus biyadeinu? Vahu ha-tayr. Tayr is chayus biyadeinu. It's so sad, Rabbi, say, to see Jews, even I'm talking about Orthodox Jews, who keep Shabbos, and they're so unhappy. They're so unhappy with themselves, with their lives. They're looking, they're trying to do other things to make them happy, to go certain places to get happy, to have a certain amount of money to get happy, and a certain house, and a certain kind of kid, and a certain kind of wife, and a certain kind of life to be happy. The Ramban says it's not possible. The only thing that's possible, the only way that's possible is till we return to the Mila of our ancestors, who we are, to Har Sinai. And the best we can do until Mashiach comes, the Sfas Emes is telling us, Chayus Oilam is in our hands, Taira. But what Taira, Kamayim HaChazal, Eilecha Ben Chayun Ela HaOisik B'Taira. As Chazal said, the only true free person is a person who's Oisik B'Taira, who learns Taira. That's what the Ramban was saying. Kishabo al Har Sinai. And we still do that. Every time you open up a sefer, every time you learn, every second of thinking of God and connecting each person with learning and davening in his mitzvah. Then we return to the Milo of our office. Then a person can say, ach, I'm finally home. And it could be, it doesn't have to be the fancy basement that that waiter had. It could be a broken down basement someplace. And it doesn't have to be in Israel. It could be some corner of the world. It doesn't have to even be a whole basement. He's sitting there and he has a page of a Gemara, like some people had Meisim like this. We know of during the war that they were able to sneak out to find that there's a page of a Gemara. Chayus Oilam. Surrounded by barbed wire. Not like us, that was surrounded with luxuries. It was surrounded with all kinds of good, fun things. Leave out good, fun things. Chayus Oilam. And if I don't feel at home being a Jew and living a life of Torah, that means that what I'm doing as a Jew is somebody else's simcha. It's somebody else's chasana. And I'm living somebody else's life.
and somehow I'm not addressing the shayrish of my own neshama. It's a magnificent chasana. I admit it's a beautiful chasana, the Gemara and all this, and davening and shuls and sukkahs, and it's a magnificent chasana. But it's somebody else's chasana, it's not mine. Now you have in front of you a photostatic page. Of course, I didn't leave enough time to do it. I was planning on leaving like 20 minutes for this. Five. But to have a taste. And we'll come back to it. Maybe you could hold, I'm not, I don't know when. We'll come back to it. Because obviously it can't be. If Torah is for every Jew, then how is it possible to ever have Torah and be in Golus? How is it possible? The first piece on the right side is from Iris HaTorah of Rav Kook. As you see, Tes, Perek Tes, Seif Vav, in Rav Kook's Iris HaTorah. We're going to be very quickly, zoom, listen, look inside, that's why I want you to have it. Yeisnam sheyotzu l'tablus ra'a mipnei shebederech limudim v'ashamasam haruchanis bogdu b'tchonosam ha'ishis hamiyuchadnes. There are some Jews who have gone away from Yiddishkeit. Mipnei shebederech limudim, because their way of learning and how they were seeking to fulfill themselves spiritually, it was, they were doing it in such a way, bogdu b'tchonosam, that means that it was rebelling against the inner nature and quality, the unique quality of that particular person. There are some in learning, he's talking about Torah, learning Torah. There are some Jews whose souls are connected the deepest way to learning Haggadah. Obviously this is not for little kids in yeshiva. Little kids have to follow the program and find out over the years when they're older. But there are some Jews who are very connected to learning the parts of Torah that are not halacha, more the Haggadah. V'nyanei halacha en lefitchon asay liyais osig behem b'kviyus. Of course they have to learn halacha, they don't know what to do. But that's not there. They don't feel like learning it all the time. That's not where they find themselves, learning halacha all the time. U'mitarech she'en amakya laharech es kishroin hamiyuchad. And since he has never ever been, he's never learned to value his own skills and his own interests and his own love of Torah, who mishtakeh b'yanei halacha, because everybody else told him that's what he has to do, so he throws himself into the Gemara, into the halacha, k'fi amin ha-gemurga, like is in the Torah world. V'hu margish b'nafsho nigud le'el ha'inyonam shu'a oisig b'ham, but he feels within his soul a natural nigud. How do you translate nigud? He feels naturally opposed. He feels a distance from all of this that he's supposed to be learning 10, 12 hours a day. Mitoch she'estakus b'hem en lefi teva kishroni ha'atzmi. Of course his gul is in Torah, but not this chelik of Torah. And it doesn't connect to him. Aval im ha'yamaitzi es tafkido memalai. Lasik b'kviyas b'aysa m'ksayah she'b'Torah ha'matan m'tchunas nafshay. If the same person who's miserable, and he thinks that he came to the conclusion of, Torah is not for me. If the same person would be Isaac Bekvius in that area of Torah that's matim l'tchunas nafshoi, that fits the tchuna of his nefesh, of his soul. Ozei yamaki miyad shargoshes hanigut shabol lo b'yiske binyoni halocha lo yibo mitzat eze chesorin ba'atzum shol ha'limudim ha'kidoishim l'chutzim l'ol. Then he would realize it's not because there's anything wrong with halocha, it's not because there's something that's not good about halocha, learning Gemara, it's just that it's not the shurish of what I have to do in this world to become accomplished, and of course I have to learn something of that every day. But it's not who I am in the b'kviyas, and therefore he realized it's not that there's a problem with Torah. Torah is vast, it's endless. His soul is seeking another area of Torah to become deeply attached to. But if he says that, if he talks about them, some rabbi or somebody else says, and if he would find himself in the Torah that he's learning, he would remain faithful to the holiness of the life of Torah and to Kedushas HaTorah, and he would become great and learned in that area of Torah that's shayach to his soul.
Bram Oizai, they Oizim Shieldim Givers Bahaloche, Lat Imam Minoim Hagodim. Not only that he would be able to be in his conversations with those who are experts in Halacha, he would sweeten them as well. He would inspire other people as well. However, since he doesn't recognize that this is the source of the problem, and he's told over and over and over again, no, this is what you must learn. You learn anything else, it's not, you're not a real Jew, it's not the Messiah, it's not the way to learn. The nature of a person is that when something is against his nature, the gullus is bitter, and he rises up to rebel against it. If he still has some energy in him, and therefore the first opportunity he has for hefka to live it up on the street, to go out, God forbid, to something else that looks like it's fun, to stretch the ben hazman and make it longer. He could become a person that hates Yiddishkeit, that hates Emunah, that hates Torah, and it's not really that which he hates, but he thinks he does. And he goes lower and lower. And we know that Rav Kook says the results that we see amongst our people, smart, good Jews who hate Yiddishkeit, who don't want to keep mitzvahs, who ran away from every yeshiva, who spit in the face of Talmid Chacham, because they see themselves as being that the whole Yiddishkeit is their goal. People are trying to what? To create some new form of redemption. As if redemption is not in Yiddishkeit. Jews have to find redemption in something else, in communism, in socialism, whatever it is, but not Yiddishkeit. He has to pour his kaychus and his main kaychus and most of his time into that area which is shayat to his neshama. And of course he also has to have time for the other things, and he always has to learn halacha. He always has to know what to do and to keep halacha properly. And then he'll be successful in both. He'll love the halacha, he'll love that part, and he'll love everything, he'll love what he's doing, and his whole life will be filled with energy. The same thing has to do with dividing the day, how much to learn and how much to go to work. He'll be successful with work, he'll be successful with learning. On the left hand side you have from the Shevet Musar, from the Kadmonim, from the time from Tzvas, from that world of Tzvas, by the time of the Arizal, the Shevet Musar. Just another 3 or 4 minutes. Well, just the main nekudas here. The Shevet Musar. Do you think this was Rav Kook's discovery? No Rebbe, nobody in any yeshiva would say that the Shevet Musar is somebody that's not acceptable. Listen to my advice, and Hashem will be with you. You want to know what is it that you damaged in an earlier Gilgul, in an earlier life, and what is it that you have to work on, to focus on now? Da, you should know. You find yourself naturally drawn to certain mitzvahs more than other mitzvahs. You should know that that means that in an earlier life, you were pagan, you did something against that mitzvah. There was something wrong in your relationship with that mitzvah. V'shalachecha Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom sent you oid ba'olam again to this world, ba'olam hazeh hashlima, to fix, to finish, to repair. Lachein al teref mimenu. Therefore, don't be distracted. Don't be weakened in your connection. Of course, you have to keep all mitzvah, but to that mitzvah, to that special way of learning, that part of Torah. Keep that mitzvah, every tiny detail, fix that mitzvah to the best of your kaychus. Never take it from before your eyes with that. There are going to be many things that are standing in your way, many obstacles, dafka to that
inyan which you have to fix. There are going to be many obstacles. There are going to be many things in your way. Davka more to that than anything else. Because that's, of course, what you have to fix. So the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, is davka coming to be misnagged in that inyan. We see in the Gemara that they would ask, what was your father's mitzvah? This one was sitzes, this one was this, this one was that. He says, there's a shaykh, so we don't have time to go through the whole thing. Go to the next paragraph. Lachain. Therefore. Let's say your own heart tells you you want to learn Tanakh. More than learning Mishnah, more than learning Torah Shabbat Peh. Or Behepach, you have more of a shaykhus to what? To learning Torah Shabbat Peh than learning the Tanakh. Of course, I'm just making a note and it's said respectfully, but honestly, that there's no such thing as a shurish of a woman's neshama that's connected to Torah Shabbat Peh. It's not possible. It's only, and if a person thinks that, it's only because she's deluding herself. V'chein, in Taiva Natschalumai Talmud, Yoisimi Kabbalah, a Kabbalah Yoisimi Talmud. Obviously, there are big preparations, big hachanis the person has to have for this. The person feels more connected to learning Gemara or more connected to learning Kabbalah. I mean, obviously, there's a Seder, please, you understand. I don't have time to go into the warnings about this kind of a thing. This is from a world that we're not holding by. But to understand the aside of what he's saying. You should know that to be great in that area of learning, that's why you came into the world. He's not talking about something that he learned a long time. He is not someone that just he became a Baal Tshuva and 2 weeks later he decides he wants to be a Kabbalist. He wants to be a mystic. Then he just that's just like, you know, that's also a delusion. It's more dangerous than the lady learning Gemara. And grab hold of this and make it the main point of your learning. A person can only learn Torah really in a place where your heart desires. That's where your goal is. That's where your redemption is. In Torah. You don't have to look outside. It's all in Torah. But it has to be Mokim Shalib Chavetz. And then it says, there's Torah Hashem, it's the whole Torah. But then you have to find out, what's Bissairah, so what's my personal Torah? What speaks to me in Torah? And he goes on, and he talks about also with the Gilgulim, we don't have time. This Rabbi, I mean, keep the page and try to go over it. This Rabbi, just to end, is the most beautiful, beautiful bracha that a great woman gave to two other women. Naomi gave a bracha when she was trying to talk to Ruth and Orpah that they should go back to their homes, right? That they should leave her. Because Naomi said, what are you going to have with me? What's going to be with me? I'm an old lady. I can't give you any sons to marry. What are you going to do with me? Go back to your homes. She said this bracha. Yitain Hashem lachem. May Hashem grant you. Umitze'ena minuch. That you may find minuch. Umitze'ena minuch. Isha beis isha. Each in the house of her husband. Umitze'ena minuch. That's the biggest bracha. That each Jew should find minuch. Where could you find minuch? In the house of your husband, in the house of your wife, in your house, in where you, who you are, and where you belong, and who you be'emes you really are. Each in the home of her husband, Isha beis Isha. Hashem as well should help us that we should all realize, we should desire to work on us, and to realize that really, like Dorothy said at the end of The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. You remember? I know. From an earlier Gilgal. I'm not saying it from this Gilgal. There's no place like home. But to mean it. To mean it. Not just to not just to jump at a certain thing and to dance a little bit, and it's a kumzitz, like I was talking about last week, the chapa piece, but to be a Jew, to be a Yid, this is my home, this is who I am, and it doesn't just fall on your head like that. It's an avoid it, come to it. It could take years and years till you really, really feel I'm home. I'm finally home. Hashem's God should help us. That we should be zeicher to find that. And we should be zeicher that Hashem's God should take us back to our home. And that we should be able to feel that way. You know, it's the same thing when it comes to living in Eretz Yisrael. You can live in Eretz Yisrael, you can be the biggest Zionist in the world, and you have like a million flags up, you know, in your house, and you march to every parade, you have a membership to every single Zionist organization. And you're big, you know, you're big chalutz, you know, and you're, but it doesn't mean that you're going to be happy living in Eretz Yisrael, you know. You have to feel that you have a shaychus to. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come to Eretz Yisrael because Moshe Rabbeinu died without Eretz Yisrael. He couldn't live without Eretz Yisrael. He died without Eretz Yisrael. I always tell people when they ask me, "Shvan, who fits or not?" I say, "Well, do you feel like you can live without Eretz Yisrael? If you feel that you're not dying without Eretz Yisrael, then you better not go." It's an interesting thing. You have to be careful because it's hard over there. And you might not feel that you're at home. You're more at home where you grew up in. And it could cause terrible, terrible problems. You have to be careful. Of course, each person has a different matzav. If you can't live without Eretz Yisrael, not that you say those words, and you think that you're yaitzi because you said halal on your matzmut, and you put out some flag or something, because anybody could do, of course, a dollar or two, that means you're a Zionist. That means you're an emissary tzioni. That means that you think you love Eretz Yisrael as much as the Satmar loved Eretz Yisrael. You think that you love Eretz Yisrael as much as the Satmar. You think so? Not from the Satmar little toenail to love Eretz Yisrael. He understood what Eretz Yisrael is. We don't have our saga of it. Hashem's Baruch should help us that we should be at home with who we are and to become greater, and He should take us home, and we should be at home in our home with the Gula Hashem, the Amitis, and Hegem, and Amen.